Hello and welcome to
Ghost Beans,
horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca. You have so many notes for this. This is such a Becca movie. We watched The Witch from 2015. Jesus, 2015 had some fucking bangers.
Yeah, it did.
But this is directed by Robert Eggers. I think this was his first feature, but then he did The Lighthouse, which we also love, and The Norseman, which we haven't seen. I don't know why we haven't seen that yet.
I don't know.
And he's got Nosferatu coming, which honestly, if that winds up being like The Witch but with a vampire, then I'm totally in.
Yeah, I'm so beyond excited for that movie.
Yeah. So The Witch, this is very much a Becca movie, because when they were like, "Dost thou want to live deliciously?" You were like, "Fuck, yes."
Yeah.
Yes, I do. But this movie, I mean, it is basically like the origin story of a witch, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because Anya Taylor-Joy, I think this is like one of her first big movies.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, this is just her living in, I guess, around the Salem witch trials when like witch fever was just peaking.
Yeah, when religious hysteria was peaking.
Yes. But it's funny because, like, I don't know why. I didn't really realize until watching it now that this movie, we're not going to spoil anything right here in case you haven't seen it somehow. This is, like, such a huge popular horror movie, I feel like. But this movie really feels like it is, like, the ultimate witch movie. Like, it feels like it is, like, like literally, there's, like, stuff I noticed I'll get into with spoilers. It's really funny because it plays with a lot of the old school like witch stereotypes and everything, and the movie is pretentious as fuck, like, let's be real, but it's great. Like, I'm not complaining. I think there are a lot of people who are like, "Oh, such a fucking artsy movie," but
yeah, well, it is,
it is, in all the best ways. Yes. And it's, yeah, it's amazing. It's, I think I actually liked it more now, and I've seen it a few times before this. Mm-hmm. It's just such a staple movie now. But yeah, I mean, witchcraft, I think there's no denying it. This is like the early version of feminism, you know?
Yeah, because, yeah, this movie's definitely about female empowerment. Yes. Like, yeah.
But it's just funny that it's like anytime that a woman does anything weird, it's like, "Are you a fucking witch?" Like, what? Like, anytime a woman does anything empowering or, you know, like that isn't just bowing down to the societal norms, it's like, "You're a fucking witch." I think that's funny, but it's also very telling, and it's something I think people maybe don't take seriously enough because it still kind of exists. Maybe, like, we're not literally calling people witches anymore, I mean, but we have many different words instead.
I'd argue that for some reason it has gotten worse somehow.
Yeah.
But I don't want to really get into that right now either. But this movie, I mean, like, it's history. Like, it's, I will say it's, like, kind of hard to spoil history. Like, there are things that happened in this movie that unfortunately did actually happen.
Yeah, I think that's part of the, I mean, this is like the obvious thing, but it's like, it's very much, it takes the historical setting very seriously, like down to the way they talk and how it's, can be kind of hard to understand their accents and everything, but it's not like a period drama. I mean, there's a fucking witch and there's like a lot of crazy,
there's supernatural things happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy supernatural stuff in the movie too. But I think that's part of why it works so well, is because they nail the setting and the look and everything so perfectly. And then when you add this supernatural layer, I think it's much more effective and kind of unique. Mm-hmm. It did make me wonder, because we live kind of close to Amish country, if like there is the Amish equivalent, if there's like Amish witches out there that have like a sex dream and then wake up and are like, "Oh, I guess I'm worshiping the devil now."
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I do think some of that is happening.
Yeah. I do feel like life fucking sucked back then. Yeah. Like, it's hard to not think about how like we had our power go out for like a week or so recently, or a little while ago. Mm-hmm. And by like day two, it was like, "I'm fucking over it. Like, this this fucking sucks."
Yeah, it was not fun.
Yeah, and watching their life, it's kind of like, "Oh, you're just surviving every day." Like, there's no real relaxation or anything, especially because the setup of the story, it's this family. I mean, they drop you right into like this argument between these different people in the village, and I guess the the husband did something to ostracize himself. I think he was like criticizing the leadership. And so they banish him and his family from this town. But right away, you can see his daughter is kind of like, wait, what? Like, kind of like, what the fuck is going on? Because imagine if that happened, if like somebody just came to your house and was like, you know what? We just decided you guys got to fucking go.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, I guess we're just on our own now. Life was very different back then. And a lot of it plays into them starting up their own home, like out in the wilderness, and all the women kind of getting more and more sick of this guy's shit. You know, yeah. And like, why the fuck did you have to do that? Why couldn't we just stay there? You know, I mean, what are your thoughts about this movie? This is like this taps into your witchy soul, I guess.
I mean, I honestly, I feel like I'm better just going into spoilers because.
Oh, really? I mean, but in general, like what was it that kind of resonated with you about this movie?
Well, obviously the aesthetics are like on point.
Yeah.
Like in every step of the movie, like from sound design to set design to wardrobe, like lighting, color grading, like it all just like it checks all the boxes.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just like aesthetically very beautiful and like very weird, and I really like it.
Yeah, I guess we should touch on like the movie. It does have some parts that are very disturbing, mm-hmm. very dark. I mean, this is a movie where the dog dies and the baby dies.
Yeah.
You know, it gets very dark and goes places that, I don't know, that are kind of surprising. Like, it can be very terrifying.
Yeah.
But I think, overall, probably holds up even better now than it did when it came out. And I think the more that women are, like, crushed under the boot of the world, I think this movie would just be even more relevant.
Yeah, I think I'm always surprised how much more I love the movie every time I see it, because I've seen it quite a few times up to this point.
Yeah.
And watching it this time, I love it even more.
I do think there's a lot to take from this movie. Mm-hmm. Like all the, everything I've been saying about like feminism and the portrayal of that struggle. And it's really done with this, in this fantastical kind of way, you know, it's like this fantasy wrapper around it that still just gets the message across, but it's also, it's scary, it's disturbing, mm-hmm. it's beautiful. And I think the fact that this was Robert Eggers' like first motion picture was like him just kicking the fucking door down and be like, yeah. So I don't know, still holds up. You don't have anything else?
No.
Then let's just get into the spoilers. It's definitely a low energy kind of day, but
it's been a busy week. Got a lot of stuff going on.
We gotta get this done. Yeah. I think this completely went over my head watching it before. I didn't realize how much this uses like really stereotypical witch imagery and tropes mm-hmm. and stuff. And it almost feels like they were writing this shit on a whiteboard. You know, like what do you think of with a witch? And so you have like straight up when she. After the like bathing in baby blood scene, which also is like kind of tropey.
Yeah. There's definitely like folklore of like witches eating babies. Like,
And that whole thing is like, that's one of the places where it's like, oh, the movie fucking goes there. Cause you hear that and it sounds like scary, but the fact that they actually showed the whole thing pretty much. Yeah. That was probably one of the most disturbing parts of the movie. But then right after that, there's the image of her like floating in front of the moon, which is like the typical like witch in front of the moon on the broomstick, you know, image, which I just thought was so funny. They found a way to like fit that in there. She even has the witch cackle toward the end, mm-hmm. you know, so there's a lot. And the poison apple. I mean, it's like so many of these little things that are like it really feels like they found ways to just insert that stuff to make it like, yeah, this is the ultimate witch movie.
Yeah, well, if you take childhood folklore about witches and like, or even like warnings from parents that would use witches as like a way to like cut off like bad behavior from children. They'd be like, a witch is gonna come out of the woods and snatch you and eat you.
Oh my god,
that's exactly what happens, and it's fucking scary. Like, you know, you joke about it, you say it, but if you see it happening in real time, that's scary.
It's funny that like witchcraft is like so behind like so many of these fears at the time. And on the one hand, you can look at it from a modern perspective and be like, oh, these silly motherfuckers, like just using this to oppress women. But then in the movie, it's like, no, she's fucking real and she's scary as shit. So you should be afraid.
Yeah.
Because even like the part when the father starts going after Anya Taylor-Joy's character and accusing her of being a witch, and she's just like, no, the little kids, I heard them talking to Black Phillip, and he's like, those fucking little witches, and just immediately goes to them. It's like, man, can you imagine growing up as a kid and like my sisters accuse me of being a fucking witch just to get out of trouble, and they take it seriously? Like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, they really play into like sibling rivalry in a really dark way too.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt that those little kids, they are like the worst fucking little children. Like we were saying, they're actually incredibly good actors because they're able to so perfectly portray like the most annoying shithead little kids. But God, I would have accused my sisters of witchcraft so much if that had worked. Like,
that's awful.
I kind of wish that I could still do that. That would have been great.
Well, it's kind of a good thing you can't do that because,
I guess so.
That is kind of just how they took women out of villages. Like, if someone, like, had a bad day or, like, didn't like the way someone looked at them, they'd be like, she's a witch.
Yeah, but there were times when my sisters wouldn't let me use the computer.
Aww.
So it would have just helped, you know, that's all I'm saying.
Look, they had a lot of Sims to play, so I understand.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny because, yeah, you have the feminist message because her character, the main character, who's like, this is her witch origin story. You can see very clearly early on between like she has some she's like having sex dreams or something. Mm-hmm. And there's the confessional where she's confessing all these different sins. And you see that she seems to be like very frustrated with her life here and everything. And it doesn't help that the dad is portrayed as being like the most fucking useless ass dude. And that's like the one man in their life, you know, is this guy who can't hunt, can't farm. Like, all he does is chop wood all day. When she says that to him, that she's like, thou hast a lot of wood. And it's just like, damn, like, burn the shit out of him. Because it's like, that's all he's good for. And even at the end, when he dies, he falls into, like, a pile of fucking wood that buries him. That is, like, such a funny fucking detail. I don't know why.
But it's so striking, too.
Yeah, but it's like a fucking 15th century joke that we can still laugh at now.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine insulting somebody like that. You're only good at chopping wood, bitch. It's like, damn. I bet there's still, like, Amish who'd say shit like that. Like, you can't even bake a fucking pretzel, bitch.
I don't want to dunk on our Amish people. Like, they make really good food.
Why are they so good at making pretzels?
So good. Those pretzels are so good.
But yeah, I mean, every part that the witch actually comes into the movie, because I think there's like a tiny bit early on where it's like, is there really a witch? Is this like supposed to be the manifestation of their fears? But no, there is a certain point where it's like, no, that's a fucking witch. Yeah. Like, there is definitely a witch. And they make witches really scary, you know? But I wonder, like, because part of it really felt like her family was being targeted, as if, like, the devil was trying to basically recruit her. It was just like, oh, I know she'd make a real good witch. And it feels like they're kind of picking off the family one by one, you know? And doing it in this, like, just really insane, sadistic way. Like, making them all turn on each other and everything, too.
Well, I think that plays into the religious hysteria part of it, too. I mean, most of the movie is a representation of religious hysteria. And the way that the mother and daughter are fighting all the time, they don't get along.
Yeah.
And the way that her relationship with her siblings is, like, very distant. They don't really seem to have that much of a connection.
Well, sort of. I mean, the son seems to have, like, too much of a connection, maybe.
Yeah, that's,
But his actor was fantastic, too.
Oh, my God. The monologue he had was, like, insane. All of them. All of them have a monologue, and they're all so well acted. It's, like, super impressive.
Yeah, including the little kids with their clickety-clackety song.
Yeah.
But the movie is, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. It has such a striking style to it, and we were talking about how, like, even during the nighttime scenes, it's like the way that they have to light everything by candle and the way they like stick to that while filming the movie just feels so natural. And it also just felt like, it would fucking suck to have to live like that. Imagine having to light all these candles at night.
Yeah, but
exhausting.
The way that all the scenes are lit, it looks like a painting, like almost every single shot. Yeah. Like it's composed and like lit so perfectly that it looks exactly like it could be a painting.
Totally. I agree. But the ending of the movie is, it's like very, very iconic now. I mean, everything from Black Phillip, like right away when the little kids are like, Black Phillip, and have a little song while he's like losing his fucking mind. Like they're just annoying the shit out of this fucking goat.
Yeah.
But he became so iconic after this. I think you said you wanted like a Black Phillip tattoo.
Oh, yeah. I would love to have, I love this movie so much. And I think the imagery is so strong and like fresh. Like,
yeah.
Everybody knows who Black Phillip is now. Like, how cool is that?
But yeah, and the ending when it's finally there was something very unsettling about like right after, I think her dad's like the last one to go, basically. There is this weird like silence that falls over everything because it's like, yeah, she is suddenly completely alone, which also makes you think like, what else would she do if she didn't become a witch? She'd basically be done for, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways you can interpret that ending.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's always the, like, witchcraft aspect of it that she, like, sacrificed. You could argue she sacrificed her whole family in order to have freedom. But then there's also, like, the supernatural aspect as, like, did it trigger a spell when her dad was finally the one to go and now she's entranced and supposed to go into the woods? Or
yeah, it did seem... at a certain point, it did feel like she was almost in a trance.
Mm-hmm.
But when she, when she goes out and is finally like beseeching Black Phillip to like talk to her, and you could see it's this thing that feels like very awkward. She almost doesn't believe it and gets like disappointed. And then you just hear that fucking voice come in.
Oh my God, the voiceover gives me chills.
It's so good. It's like the loudest whisper. It doesn't make any sense, but that's just perfect. Because I would imagine, if the devil was real, that's what he fucking sounded like. Yeah. Just a loud-ass whisper.
Yeah.
And all the dialogue from there, like, dost thou like the taste of butter and all that. It's like, everyone quotes that because it's just so fucking perfect. And honestly, it makes you think, like, you know what? That sounds pretty good. Like, I don't know. I like butter.
Butter, okay.
And deliciously, really? I don't think I've been living that way. Yeah, that does seem kind of appealing. And then having to like sign your name into the book and everything. It's again playing with those kind of tropes. You know, it's like selling your soul, but it's done in this like very kind of realistic and grounded way that makes it like, it feels like a fresh interpretation.
Yeah. It somehow feels really magical and fantastical, but it's just the simplest rendition of it in like the best way.
And I guess that's her life now, because then it ends with
the
witch party at the bonfire where they were just having a good fucking time, just like dancing around naked. And then she starts flying in the air and is like, okay, like I can get down with this.
This is all girls want. Literally, this is it.
There's a part of that ending that does feel like, I don't know if they want me to be like, oh shit, this is so weird and scary, but you can't help but be kind of like, that looks like a good time to me.
If I'm being honest, the first time I ever saw this, and every time I still see it now, the ending still makes me emotional. Like every time. Like it just, I don't know what it is. I don't think I could put into words exactly what it is, but it does. It makes me emotional.
I can understand that, because it does feel like, I guess what I'm getting at, like jokes aside, is that it actually winds up feeling like a positive ending.
Yeah.
You know, like it's empowering. It's like she is discovering herself after murdering her family. But,
I mean, technically.
You can look at that in a non-literal way of like having to shed your family to move on and find independence and everything. Mm-hmm. It does feel very positive.
Well, if you think about it, her fate kind of got flipped on its head because her parents were going to sell her to boy to like be married off to for money. And like,
she didn't have a lot of options.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at option A and option B,
maybe I could understand where that would come from. I don't know. Was there any other points you really want to talk about?
No, I just love this movie so much. I really do. This is literally one of my favorite movies.
It's a good movie. Yeah. I think it's pretty universally loved. But preaching to the choir, probably. I think horror people definitely love this movie, but it's great. It's a lot of fun and has it has a heart to it. Like, it has a message. It has a lot to actually say, but it also is just a really good horror movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's great. So you can go to ghostbeasts.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod on social platforms. Social platforms. This sounds so stupid.
People know. Wherever you go in Doom Scroll, we're there.
Yeah. Good. You can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd too, where we rank all the movies we cover. And the funny thing we realized by now, since we've been adding them as we record and just kind of being like, who cares? There's like 50 something movies on there. And I think, I don't know when we're releasing this one, but
yeah.
I think if anyone looks after October 1st, it's going to be like, what the fuck? Like, there's so many movies on here. Well, let's rank this one.
I'm hungry.
I know you are.
This is definitely a big one.
Yeah.
How do you feel about number 3, Under Cat People and Above Possession?
I think it might go above Cat People, honestly.
Has this replaced Cat People as your favorite
movie?
It's not
replaced.
Okay.
Look, I like a lot of films equally at the top spot. It's hard to...
Then that means we got our number 2 movie on the list, Under Alien and Above Cat People. And you can...
Under Alien.
Yes. Yes, Under Alien. Let's move on. You can email us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. I got nothing. Bye.
We have to talk about that.